Blog Talk Radio.
Dynasty League headquarters in Megwanago, Wisconsin. Bad Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. We all have Tony Danza here today in honor of Rick Springfield. Love that song, man. But listen, it's all bark in the doghouse today as we continue to try to get this podcast back on track. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League. Let's just kick it again. Taking it back to like 1980, whatever. But listen, all bark in the doghouse tonight. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and the aforementioned fat guy with a phone himself, Rick Goreski. We embark tonight on our third show in this 2017 offseason. Before I go any further, it's time to add the we to me. Time to raise the ratings. Welcome my guest at this time, NFL fantasy trade expert, Tom Buckles. What's going on, dude? Two shows in a row here. It's actually our third show in 4 days, so slowly but surely we're getting back into the swing of things.
Yes, we is.
So we're back going freestyle again, man. Last night we left off talking about round one of the 2016 rookie draft as we ran out of time. Certainly want to kick back to that conversation. But before we do that, let's keep this kind of this cycle that we have going on where we update on the latest news. So the NFL news and the Mad Dog League news, if there is any, which there isn't tonight. But Reuben Foster apologizes in NFL news. Yeah, Reuben Foster, the linebacker that got kicked out of the combine this weekend, sends an apology letter to every NFL team. I just read this. I mean, nothing says I'm dead-ass wrong like an apology letter sent to all 32 NFL teams. His agent must have busted his ass to get that set up fast. I mean, working overtime, less than 24 hours, and the damage control begins. And what I read happened is that Foster just got pissed off waiting for an examination. An argument ensued, and the rest is history. They booted him. And this is what we talked about last night. Guys that just, they can't just be on their best behavior in situations like this. It raises serious flags, and I'm downgrading Foster off this. I had him as potentially the sixth best player in our rookie draft, and while that was never set in stone, there was a lot of draft reviewing to go. I'm downgrading him. How about you, man?
That's in is he's got such great talent, and I mean, if he's going to slide, I like the idea of him sliding, but I don't like what he did, and I can see why people would move him down that board, and should be a problem for the coaching staff, getting along with other players on whatever his new team would be. It's just, you don't want to be a cancer to a team when you haven't even entered the NFL yet. And you're going to come in as a cancer to a locker room. So he's going to have to be sent to a team that's got a lot of veterans on that defensive side, and they're going to have to sit him down with whoever goes, whichever team drafts him, and try and get his head straight. Because it's a big flip, and you know this is what he worked his entire life for, to be able to get this opportunity to go blow it on one day, one moment. And now you could set yourself back kind of what was the offensive lineman from Mississippi State last year with the bong freaking ass, you know? And You guys got to know this is coming up. You're at it's not the draft yet, but you're at the combine, and, you know, there's testing and everything there, so why would you want to be, you know, you're not representing the name on the back of your jersey at all.
You're a little muffled there, man. Just so you know, you're coming out a little. We can hear you, but you're a little muffled. I'm just really concerned about a guy that can't even wait for his medical review. I mean, he had some kind of little medical examination thing going on, and, I mean, how many times have any of us been to the doctor and you have to wait? I don't think I've ever gotten into a fight with anybody about it. And, again, millions of dollars at stake. I think it's telling that his agent, clearly, don't tell me the agent didn't concoct this, 32 letters out to 32 NFL teams immediately apologizing. He was kind of argumentative with the media, too. Pardon me, in the article that I read, he was kind of getting on the reporter guys for even asking about it. And it's like, so you blow up and now you're going to start to get pissy with the press when they ask about it? Well, geez, dude, you gave them the story. I mean, they're all down there probably bored off their ass looking for some kind of news to report. And you give them this and then you get pissy when they start asking follow-up questions? All of it goes to character. And I remember we talked about this last year. Scouts, I don't remember what scout it was, if it was Ron Wolf or whoever, the two biggest reasons why players bust in the NFL is injuries and character. So thus my stance on downgrading. It's not that I won't take him at some point. I just, you know, that kind of entices me, inspires me to find somebody else to put six. Because when you're talking about sixth overall, you know, seventh overall, those are really high picks in rookie. Anything else you want to add on that one?
I agree. Just Murphy getting popped with EDs. Looks like he's going to be sitting for games already the next year.
Holy shit, dude. Did you climb into your sump pump? Are you down into the tiles? That was awesome. That last one, you were fading in and out. There, you're doing it again. How far down does your basement go? You got like a 2-story basement? Is it a dungeon?
It's deep, bro. I'm under the conduit and everything, man. I'm deep.
Say hi to Igor for me down there. So, listen, you said yesterday, I know you mentioned this, the Saints and the Patriots and the Brandon Cooks potential for a trade. Did we touch upon the fact that the Saints officially rejected the 32nd overall pick? I don't recall if we – I know we talked about him being out there, but did you know that the Saints had an offer from the Patriots, 32nd overall pick in the first round? And the Saints would have had to throw back a very late-round pick, but I guess the Saints feel like they might be able to do better.
Yeah, I saw the same thing, and I'm hoping to get something more in the middle of the first round is what I'm hearing. So, I don't know. He's going to have to go again. He's going to
They're just looking for the best.
Yeah. So, benefits, you know. So I think he gets shipped out to a team that, you know, could end up screwing his potential, you know.
Well, you would like to believe that if a team's going to go trade, and clearly now the price tag is a first-round draft pick, if somebody's going to go out there and trade a first-round pick for this guy, they're going to actually... It's going to be a team that is ready to use him and put him in the proper situation. Well, a couple other quick things I'll mention as far as news, Tom. You're still cutting in and out. This defensive end prospect from this draft, McKinley, is his name. Let me go check my notes here as to where he is from. McKinley, where is he?
Did they have to
Yeah, I had a big note on him, and it's gone now. Oh, here it is. I was looking at the linebackers on accident. He's from UCLA. Yeah. Word is he could be moved to linebacker once he gets into the league. Great speed. Incredible backstory. His parents died. He was I don't think he had a father, and then his mom died, and then, well, he's not Darth Vader. I mean, he had a father at some point, but his grandmother raised him because the mom died, and then the grandmother died when he was in college, and he dedicated, like, every game to, you know, it sounds like he made something of it. He had a real rough road. It was a guy that I had my eye on to watch, real hard worker, one of those guys that nothing was handed to in life, so, you know, he's not bitching at anybody in the hospital examining room. He's just sitting there politely and doing what he needs to do. Unfortunately, he's going to have some kind of surgery. I found the article to be fascinating because he always had a little bit of a shoulder, kind of a sore shoulder, and he always told the guys, in his words in the article, he told the UCLA guys, oh, tape me up, guys. You know, let's get out there and play. And somebody found out, he told his agent that he had this little shoulder pain, and they did a scan and found out that he had a little tear in the rotator cuff or something goofy, and they're going to go in there. It's nothing major. He'll be okay. But, you know, they said, asked him if he wanted to skip the combine, and he goes, hell no. He goes, this is a dream come true. I want to get out there, and I'm going to knock it down. I'm going to blow it away. Great, you know, we just get done talking about Foster, who raises concerns about his character, and then you read about this guy, and it's like, wow, you know, despite the injury, I still might pick this guy. What, you heard about this one?
Oh, yeah, this is a guy if they don't make a move, the Packers don't make a move up to try and get, like, a Taco Charlton, this is a guy I want to see him go after. If they can make a move to get this kid, he's bouncing around between that 20 to in draft boards right now. So if he's anywhere near where we can get him, this is a guy I love to see as an outside edge rusher, since we possibly will be losing and of course, you know, we don't have Peppers anymore, so we'll need that other guy on the other edge with Matthews, since they're going to probably keep Matthews on for one more year.
Is it just me, or every time we talk about Taco, does it just make you hungry? And what the hell is with people naming their kid Taco, too? I mean, I never met anybody named Burrito yet or Pizza, but this is the second guy now in the NFL that has been named Taco. So I don't get that. Seriously. I mean, I love pizza. I didn't name any kid Pizza. Anyway, I get back on track here.
Pizza manga.
Yeah, well, I just don't get it. Why the hell would you name your kid Taco? I mean, whatever. I just, whatever, man. Father of Packers Clark, Kenny Clark, the draft pick that they made, not leaving prison. It's more of a story I bring up just because we're in Wisconsin here. Defensive tackle Kenny Clark, his father was in prison for murder, and I guess he lost a chance to have his conviction overturned or something. So, you know, he's going to be watching his kid from the yard. Or on TV in jail, I guess. But that's all the news I got written down. Do you have any other news that you want to talk about?
Let's see if I got anything else that I had. You know, being the PEDs and whatnot, still waiting to see what's going to go on with that Garoppolo deal, if he's getting moved out here or there, you know, and you know, the whole quarterback situation going around, there's a carousel going on around right now. You got the Tyrod Taylors, the Romos, the Kirk Cousins, Garoppolo. I mean, there's even rumors that, you know, Romo might end up going to Houston. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, so the quarterback's going to be like a big carousel twist this year. And it's not the big gunslinging kind of guys in the draft this year in that position that are available coming out this year. So who knows? It might be the year for people to grab everything else that they need other than quarterback this year and maybe waste their last pick on a guy.
You actually jogged my mind. There was a couple more things to mention. Free agency starts this coming Thursday, March 9th. 2017, and we will hopefully do a show or two this coming week dedicated to that topic, free agents, NFL free agents. Right now, rumor-wise, I did note before the show that the Browns have an interest in signing Tyrod Taylor. In fact, rumors are that they are just going to make a beeline at Tyrod Taylor, and that the Bills, I don't know if they've officially announced this, that they're not going to, I think they had an option or something that they could pick up, or just he was owed a lot of money for this coming year. I don't know what the hell the Bills are doing up there, but that aside, also heard the Bears are going to make a play for Glennon from Tampa Bay, which I thought Glennon, this is more for later in the week. I've got a link, and I'll share that with you when we do some prep for that show about, you know, who's a NFL free agent right now. I thought Taylor and Glennon were actually under contract for one more year, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're free agents this year, or maybe there was some kind of option.
Yeah, Tyra pulled that Geister move on the contract when they signed him, that they realistically, it wasn't a long-term contract. It was only really guaranteed on that deal. So that's why he's kind of under contract, but with the team option to choose if they want to bring him or not. And it's a hefty dollar amount if they're bringing him back or not. So I think that's further thing for how they want to go and look elsewhere. But the Glennon one's kind of confusing because he really hasn't had his chance to really do much, if anything. And I'd prefer Brian Hoyer. I'm kind of confused why all these teams that have had Brian Hoyer and have let him get a chance at doing something, even in Cleveland, the guy went off and made names out of receivers and players on those teams. And as you begin with the Bears, he was outperforming Jay Cutler. So very confusing why this guy keeps getting no chance in the league where he actually performs when he steps in.
Well, I think the problem with him is that, you know, first of all, Cleveland should have given him that chance. He was, you know, a Cleveland kid from that area at least, and was doing well before the knee injury happened. Same game that, who was the Bills quarterback that went out the same game? Manuel? What's his name? Something Manuel?
EJ Manuel.
Yeah, EJ, right. So anyway, they both got hurt in the same Thursday night game. I remember that. But Hoyer, if you go back to the game again, the playoff game a year, not this year, not the one that happened in January of 2017, January 2016, he blew that game. I mean, Houston had a legitimate shot, and he just kept throwing pick after pick after pick. It was ridiculous. System has something to do with that, but I think he's probably just going to be a lifelong backup, a spot starter, a guy where somebody gets hurt and he finds himself starting. That's what I think of Hoyer. You think he's got more potential than that?
Coming out of Michigan State, I just thought he was originally behind Tom Brady back in the day. And was learning behind them and got the system in New England. I mean, shoot, if he would have been still, you know, had a chance to go back there, they probably would have never picked Jimmy Garoppolo or Brissett. So, I think he's, I mean, Kirk Cousins went to the friggin' Michigan State, and there's a guy, Cook, I think, is the other guy that's on the Raiders now that was at Michigan State. They've been churning out a lot of decent prospects at quarterback. It's just, if and when they get their shot, you know, what they do.
I do have a comparable for Hoyer in the NFL. Fitzpatrick from the Jets. Well, I don't think he's with them. They cut him now or parted ways with him. But that's kind of what I think of him, as a guy that in spurts, at times, he puts strings together some really good games, and you're like, man, you know, that could actually work. And then all of a sudden, he gets a longer stretch or a longer opportunity, and you're like, oh, man, this is going downhill fast. So certainly does flash talent in spurts, though, that much I can say. But, hey, if you're good, why don't we kick over to why don't we close out news and let's kick back over to the Mad Dog 2016 rookie draft. And I'd actually like to start out by slowing down the last two comments. We had Corey Coleman of Cleveland going 11th in the first round and Carl Joseph 12th. And you were rushed giving your comments on your own pick yesterday. So could you please pick it up there and tell us about Joseph? I think it's a great pick. A lot of fading, brother. I don't know if you can get by a window.
All the copper bowls and
does the chain reach to the window?
Yeah.
Just tap once if you're okay, man.
Can you hear me now?
I know you
can. You hear me now?
You're bringing it back, man.
Hey,
you're bringing it back. Can you hear me now? Well, we could hear you. I don't know about everybody out there, but the thing about when Tom's on the show, there's a lot of reading between the lines, especially when every other word is omitted.
I think Carl Joseph is a guy that I was projecting out that, you know, if I had an earlier pick, which I did, but I traded to get up to two, you know, I was eyeing him up at my original spot, which was like the 6-7 area. And, in fact, you know, he kept sliding, so I figured, you know what, this guy's got, he's gone from a program that turned out awesome talent in that position, and, you know, other than him being hurt leading into the season, I still feel that he's got an opportunity to be a star at that spot.
Well, let's kick the second round review off here by saying first and foremost that people need to realize that those first picks in the second round, every single year it seems as if a bona fide stud player gets plucked in those first picks of the second round. And I'll give you examples. Bobby Wagner was one of the top picks in that round. I think Alex Ogletree might have been 12th. If not, he was the first pick in the second round. He was right there. But Landon Collins was, I think, another early second rounder. Last year, that early second rounder that I'm going to, you know, start this conversation with is Michael Thomas. Gar Klingons around Uranus taking Michael Thomas with the 13th overall pick, first pick in the second round. Thomas scoring 254 points for the season. One of the best players in the entire draft. Second overall was Stoneform Pallies taking Reggie Raglan, the Buffalo linebacker. Third overall pick in the second round. Brian's defensive line fetish continued with DeForest Buckner. Moving over to Tim, lost in the sauce, traded for the fourth pick. I actually had it last year, and he traded with me to move up and take Deion Jones, linebacker, speedy linebacker from Atlanta. Show Me Your TDs had the fifth pick, took Derrick Henry of Tennessee. Lost in the sauce, took Keenan Neal, the Atlanta safety, another great defensive pick. His picks last year were great, by the way. The way they played out during the season, can't wait to talk about that in a moment. I'll just finish recapping the round, and then we'll turn it over to you, Tom. Seventh overall pick, Ipswich United trades up for Jalen Smith, linebacker from Dallas. Can't wait to see what happens with that. That's an exciting player. Eighth pick in the second round, lost in the sauce again. Sua Cravens, linebacker / defensive back, Washington. He's officially listed as a linebacker. Fought some injuries, but when he did play, he looked really good. Ninth pick overall, Stoneform Pallies again, had loaded up draft picks. Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati, got a lot of playing time, looked reliable, looked good. Tenth overall pick in the second round, Ipswich United making a huge play to move up. I think they gave up a first rounder this year for the ability to move up and get Noah Spence, defensive lineman from Tampa Bay. Another one of these guys looked good, had some injuries. Common theme that we're covering as we go through everything. Two picks left, downhill from here, took Devontae Booker, running back from Denver. He got some playing time. Jury's still out on him. And last but not least, second round ends with my own team, Crazy Seven, taking Hunter Henry, tight end San Diego. So, Tom, we had Thomas, Raglan and Buckner were the first three picks in the second round. Would you like to comment on any of those three? We'll take them three at a time.
Thomas was a home run hit, and I think me and you talked later on multiple times about it, and I think you were a little more high on him and kind of almost got me talked in on the off the ledge of going in there and picking him at, instead of my face over at pick number two. I wasn't going to throw him a pick at a receiver, so Franklin kind of sucked. He got hit by an injury bug. And Buckner, this could be a nice find for Brian. Two guys, back-to-back rounds, could have some future defensive linemen for him for years to come.
The thing about Buckner that to jump in there on the third player, you know that San Francisco is going to be on defense a lot. So at the very least in the short term, talent or no talent, that's actually going to work out. He's going to get some stats out of that. Ragland, no idea what's happening in Buffalo. I don't even know what defense they're going to play right now. I think they're going to go to a 4-3 and leave the 3-4 if that's the case. Again, just a lot of questions. A lot more offseason has to happen before we can really talk about Raglan. But, of course, injury robbed him. Thomas, we talked about yesterday. Thomas, 254 points led that entire second round, the best player taken in that round, and frankly one of the top three in the entire draft, second only to Ezekiel Elliott and Carson Wentz were the two players that scored more points than Thomas.
The other thing I wanted to chime in on was for Raglan, it's going to be a little confusing there because of them having, what was it, Zach Brown and Renzo Alexander. I think they got like four different linebackers there. So I think with them having that many guys available, I think he's going to get his chance to ease into this position. And I know they've drafted him to be their middle, you know, their main linebacker who's going to do the play calls. He's going to have the radio, so.
It's just another regime, though. You know what I mean? It's another different regime, different defense, different coordinator. You've got a rookie that didn't get the luxury of playing time and experience. You know, maybe he was studying the playbook and now throw everything he studied, throw it out the window. You know, it starts
exactly
from scratch, and he's still battling the, you know, hopefully he's healthy and ready to go, but it's just that whole thing is just up in the air right now. You just don't know what to predict. Unlike Deion Jones, who the Atlanta Falcons do know what they got and what they have in Deion Jones putting up a very impressive 245 points on the season. That's one of the higher points for any draft pick. You can argue it's one of the best defensive picks that was made in this draft. Lost in the sauce, taking Deion Jones. Then you had Show Me Your TDs with Derrick Henry and lost in the sauce again with Keanu Neal. So Neal also was fantastic by the end of the year when he got – he had a little bitty injury, and then I think he took over the starting spot and never let go. And that guy, he was fantastic. I took him in King for a day, and, you know, just every week he was solid, just a great player. What do you think about those three? Deion Jones, Derrick Henry, Keanu Neal.
Oh, as far as those three guys go, young, talented future going for those Atlanta guys, especially with the coaching of, I think it's what, Snyder, that came out of Seattle. He's gonna be able to transform that defense, and he's got some young studs to hang his hat on, and they also have Devondre Campbell there, so they've got three young stud pieces on that team. And then Derrick Henry was just coming on towards the end of the year last year. I mean, if you looked at the stat lines, it was like he was putting in a touchdown every single week towards the last 5-6 weeks of the season. So I know he's still got DeMarco Murray there, but I still think they're gonna find their way to get this guy in there. And if you're getting him in at the second half of the game, it's just gonna be motoring down people.
And we're doing kind of a before and after for everybody listening, where we're looking at, all right, here's what happened last year, and here's what's happening this year. Or here's, like, looking back with hindsight, being able to talk about these picks. I'm just as excited, if not more excited, about Jones and Neal, those picks that Tim made. Just fantastic. And going into that Seattle mold for defense, they're going to be productive stat guys for a while. Just great. And then going over to Scott, we kind of, I think everybody's consensus last year was that it's really good value to get Derrick Henry in the middle of the second round. Pardon me. I think he showed that he really has, they worry about the Alabama running backs when they come out. They worry whether they're used up. I think Henry's going to be just fine, and I think the Tennessee team is actually looking up. I think their entire offense, the ground and pound, the way that they kind of have almost a Patriots-esque way of attacking teams on offense, and Mariota's a great fit for what they're doing. I think the future is good for Derrick Henry. I do think this year might be, you know, temper your enthusiasm again this year, but all the better for Scott, because then he can get him on a really good contract for the next 3 years. And they're going to use DeMarco Murray up this year. Between last year and this year, they're just going to run that guy into the ground, and then they'll hand that job to Derrick Henry, who will be ready to take it. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know what's in Scott's mind here, if he's thinking of early signing or not, but if I were him, I'd ride the year out and then sign him to 3 years starting next year. Next three picks, Tom. The 7th overall pick, Jalen Smith. 8th pick, Sua Cravens. And the 9th pick, Tyler Boyd. Smith, injury, you know, gets a red shirt last year, but if he fulfills just a fraction of the potential that he had, he's going to be incredible and will ultimately take that, you know, main linebacker job in Dallas away from Sean Lee. Sua Cravens, I'm still excited about him. I don't think a lot of people really respect the talent that's there, but I think he did well last year, and only more, you know, more is going to come. And Tyler Boyd, I thought, actually overachieved, and I mean that in a positive way, in that no one really thought he could be as good as he was last year. He did great. What do you think of those three?
Like we said, jury's still out on Jalen Smith. There's been a few other guys, Lattimore, that was the running back picked out of South Carolina that went to the 49ers, was unable to get that nerve damage healed. There's another guy prior to that, too, that it didn't work out for him in the end. But if it does turn out for the best for Andy, where it does, the healing goes, the process works, this guy, the sky's the limit on him. And like you said, he's going to be learning behind a kid then, you know, and Sean Lee, who's just a beast all over the field. As far as Sua Cravens goes, I think he was just the little fish in a big pond being moved from safety into that linebacker hybrid spot. And I don't know, I just think he wasn't, I guess, 100% prepared for what was going to be put in his plate. So, and I think they should have, I think they needed to give him a little more time to move into the spot instead of just throwing him right into the wolf. So, I would have probably kept him more at his safety spot. In fact, he may slide back since they're losing a couple of their defensive backs this year. So they do need to get another safety. So maybe he moves back to his original position or he stays as the hybrid. And after that, on the board, like you said, I believe with them losing Mohamed Sanu and losing Marvin Jones, for him to come in and do what he did, you know, it was spectacular that he was able to do what he was able to do, opposite of, you know, A.J. Green and basically nobody else.
Well, Green was down. They lost Green.
Yeah,
Eifert was down. I mean, he kind of carried
Eifert missed
him
mostly. Yeah. Eifert was gone for the first 8 to 10 weeks. A.J. Green got hurt the last 6 weeks of the season or eight. So, I mean, he did what – he went above and beyond what you could ask from a rook at that point. He basically was the number one, so.
Oh, absolutely. Now, he was the 24th overall pick in the NFL draft to the Bengals. He, for the season, I don't want to overstate it, he had 54 catches, 603 yards, and a touchdown. So nobody was inviting him to the Pro Bowl. But nobody, the thing is Cincinnati really struggled with injuries on offense, and you had this rookie come in that people thought needed a little bit of time to kind of, you know, they didn't expect anything from the guy necessarily, and all of a sudden he found himself kind of being a guy that helped keep them afloat. So big kudos to him for that and for Steve for picking that guy. Steve's got a knack for picking good wide receivers, so maybe this year I won't mock him as much. I won't jerk with him as much because I hate telling him he's right. That's mostly why. last three picks in the second round, Noah Spence, defensive lineman, Tampa Bay, Ipswich, Devontae Booker, running back, Denver, to downhill from here, Hunter Henry, tight end, San Diego, to the Crazy Seven. That's my squad. Spence, I thought he was a fantastic defensive lineman. Didn't feel Andy needed to trade up and give up everything that he gave up to get there, but I thought Spence was looking good and has a very bright future ahead of him. So not to derail things, but that's an example of how you've got Spence in the 10th pick in the second round. Was there really a need to trade for the third pick with Bosa and, you know, the early second rounder with Buckner? Was that even early second? I'm trying to find it. Yeah, the third pick in the second round.
It was the third pick.
You know, you've got Noah Spence here with the 10th pick in the second round. I leave that debate out there for anyone that wants to talk about that. But to me, it says, you know, Brian was the one who took those first two defensive linemen. You know, is there that big of a difference between Buckner and Spence? You know, I think talent-wise, I think Spence is as good as Buckner. You know, maybe Buckner's a hair better, or you can say better, but is it, you know, would you rather have Spence and Michael Thomas than, you know, Buckner and losing picks because he traded up? I don't know. So I'm getting off track.
That would have been a phenomenal tandem for him, too, having Mike Evans, Mike Thomas, receivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's Spence.
Gil Elliott there.
Spence looking good. Booker, I think, flopped. I think he ended up having the opportunity because C.J. Anderson can't stay healthy again. And I thought Booker had a real chance, especially in that Denver offense, and he didn't assert himself. And I think that I'm not so sure that he is going to be the guy going forward. And then you go down to Hunter Henry. At the time I said, you know, best player available. I had no intention of picking a tight end, but I get to the 12th pick in the second, the 24th overall pick, and Hunter Henry's there. I can't help but not take him. He's clearly going to be the heir apparent to Antonio Gates in San Diego, and Henry actually, tight ends usually take a year or two to kind of, you know, get groomed into the position, not Henry. He jumped right out, and I think he was tied for the league lead at tight ends, touchdowns for tight ends. So love the Henry pick. Thought the Spence pick was great. I would have picked, just like Bill did, I would have taken Booker. It's just one of those players where I'm not sure if it's going to work out. What do you think? Booker and Henry, Tom? Still there, buddy? Hello? Hello, is the caller there? Well, I'm going to check my... Yeah, we lost Tom. We lost Tom. Somehow he fell off the line here. If he pops back on, I'll certainly put him back. I think he's calling me right now, actually. I'm going to pause the show for... Hey, we're back. Tom somehow got cut off, and I'm going to actually, he's trying to get right back on. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I have an idea. I'm going to see if I can reach him on my cell phone, and maybe I can pop him in via my cell phone. So I'm calling him right now, and then we can continue along with our coverage of the 2016 second round draft. You there? Hey, man. tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you next to – I'm going to have you on my cell phone, and I'm going to put that next to the spot where I talk so that you can get in here. So I had just talked about Hunter Henry at tight end and Booker, which was Bill's pick.
Yeah, I was trying to do a
sign
before, and all of a sudden I lost everything, and then all of a sudden I went to go – I heard you for a couple of seconds, and I'm – But I was trying to say that Spence, looking at Andy's team, I didn't think it was a need for him to go after an end anyway. A defensive lineman, the guy's stacked there. And I was wondering why he gave up what he had given up to get up to that spot. So with what he had on his team. Booker, I was mentioning how he was a small, fragile guy. His knock was on him that he was a pint-sized guy coming out of, what is it, Utah. And he was... had injury history, and that's another reason why he got hurt through the season. They got Cabri Bibbs there, too, so who knows? Maybe they're going to give him the shot. Hunter Henry was like the steal. He was a steal at that point.
Okay, Tom.
Are you there?
Yep, no, I'm here. I'm
Hello?
Just holding the phone in a certain way so that the audience can hear you. Any other comments on the second round before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, like I said, Hunter Henry was a great steal to pick up at that last pick of the second round. So, tremendous pick. Kudos to you, bro.
Well, thanks, man. I tell you what, why don't we go ahead right here. The second round is over, and we only have about a minute or so left, 2 minutes left. So I'm just going to call it right here. We'll start the exit music. I want to thank Tom Buckles for joining me tonight. Everybody, let's 1 second here. Gotta wind this down. All right. Goodbye to you.